Praise the Lord. We made it to episode 10 of Out of the Box. Welcome for those who are watching or logging on through YouTube or Facebook Live. Please, please, this is episode 10. This is perfection. This is God's number with 10 commandments. Everything, it talks about harmony, about God doing perfecting what he has created in us. And we know that there is a story that is going to help you in your season today. Amen. A testimony of the glory of God. And I am super, super excited for our guest. Amen. Ayla Christian, that is in the house. Praise the Lord. Let me put your camera on you. Let's go. Say hi to everybody. Amen. She has a powerful testimony. And if you want to know about this testimony, stay plugged in. Amen. But the best thing you can do about this program is that we built this platform to share a good positive story of what God is doing, not just all this negativity out there. We want to share that God is still working behind the scene. God is still doing great and mighty work in our lives and people's lives. And it's not over until God says it's over. I don't care how bad it looks. This episode is for you because it's going to empower you. It's going to give you hope. It's going to let you know that, yes, you're going to have to endure the process, but God is going to be stepping all into it and walking alongside you for his glory, and he will manifest something that you will have a testimony to share that will impact someone else's life. So please share this. Share the YouTube link, share the podcast, whatever you can do right now, this moment while you're watching live on Facebook. Share it, because the reason why I'm asking is it's not going to give me anything. It's going to just touch someone else's life. Amen. That's the purpose of this platform and what we're doing here today. Amen. So episode 10, Ayla Christian in the house. Amen. So I know that you have a testimony to give, and I know that you also celebrating an anniversary. How many years?
7 years married, 13 years together.
13 years together, 7 years married. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ayla is Cody's, amen, wife. Amen. If you watch episode 2, Survivor, you will hear his testimony, his side of the story. But we want to revisit that story, amen, in someone else's lens. How she saw it as a wife, as a woman, as a mother, amen, her process. And we want to share that with you because it's always two sides of the story. And not only that, but God works in mysterious way with both, amen. God reaches each and every one of us a different way. And I was dying to hear your side of the story because there are so many women out there that need to hear, you know, that, you know, no matter how low it is, no matter how dark it is, no matter how it looks like there's no hope or no future, God is still able to step in and do a mighty work. Amen. So we believe that without a doubt. So talk to me a little bit about how the Lord reached you, because I know you recently got saved, and you know, how many years, what's going on there?
It's been about 2 years now since I first went. I believe wholeheartedly that God sent Aisha. She's like an angel for me.
Praise the Lord.
I was working with her. She was the nurse at my work, and I was really getting into witchcraft, like heavy.
Wow, really?
And she wouldn't badger me. She would just be like, I'd be like, you know, I went and seen this psychic yesterday, and this is what they told me. And she'd just be like, that's a demon.
Wow.
Like, she would just point it out, but then leave it alone. Like, it wasn't like she wasn't attacking me. But I was like, oh, she just doesn't know. Like, it'll come one day. Mm-hmm. And she just slowly kind of worked on me. And then, you know, she had invited me to church, and I told her, I was like, Aisha, I'm never going to go to church because I know God will take my husband from me, because I knew how we were living.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was like, Aisha, I'm not going. Like,
wow.
Out of everything in my life, I was like, my husband's number one. Like,
yeah.
And that's just how I was. So I told her, I was like, I'm not going because I know God's going to remove him, and I'm not going to put myself through that. So then Aisha, one day she was like, we're having a women's conference. Like, you know, you should come. It'll be great. And she asked me months in advance. So I was like,
so she sold the seed.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, okay, yeah, sure, I'll go. That sounds great. And at that time, me and Cody were not getting along.
Wow.
So one weekend he was going out, and then the next weekend I was going out.
Mm-hmm.
And we just was kind of like ships in the night. So I was like, well, that weekend just so happens it's my weekend to go out. So I had a babysitter. So I was like, you know what? I'll go. It'll work out. And then as the weekend came, I was like, I really don't want to spend my weekend at church. I'd rather just go to the bar, like, and have at that. The weekend before that was the first time that I had gone out and really, like, really let loose. Like, I had gotten really drunk. I got home at like 3 o'clock in the morning. I crawled into the spare bed thinking that it was my bed. So it was like, I think that was the weekend where I had finally started to like it. Because before that, I was like, I'm just doing this despite my husband.
Yeah.
He's going to go out, so am I. Yeah, and that was the first weekend where I was like, wow, this is actually fun. You know, and I started like really liking it instead of just doing it to get back at him.
Right.
So then that weekend, I was like, I was supposed to go to the her conference, and I was like, oh, I don't want to go. And then I was like, but I'm going to see Aisha Monday. I told her I would go, and I don't want to have to give her an excuse.
So it was a women's conference.
Yeah. And I didn't want to have to give her an excuse because I liked her.
Yeah.
And so I went, and I just seen God moving, but I didn't know what it was.
Okay.
I seen people crying. I seen people hugging. Like, I seen all this stuff, but I wasn't feeling it yet. I just seen it.
Yeah.
I left the church, and as I was driving home, I was like, God, if you're even real, like, if something happened there and it was real, I need you to show me. Like, and by show me, I need you to show me what's going on in my marriage. Wow. That's how I'm going
to
believe you.
So you're like, Lord, if this is real, what I'm feeling, what I'm seeing, reveal to me what's happening.
Yeah. I was just like, God, if you're real, show me what's going on in my marriage. That was because remember, Cody was number one in everything.
Yeah. So, but there was still something going on there.
Right.
And you couldn't pinpoint it.
Right. And I'm like, if this is real, like, I see this, show me. Mm-hmm. 16 hours later, Cody got into that horrible, horrible motorcycle accident. I literally, one of his friends at his work called me and was like, hey, have you heard from Cody? And I'm like, this is weird. Because I hadn't talked to that friend in a while. So I was like, no, but he worked with him. So I was like, no. I was like, why, what's up? And he's like, I don't know, I'll call you later. And hung up. And I'm like, okay. And then he called me back. He's like, hey, there's a bunch of ambulance. I think Cody wrecked on a bike. So I hurry up. He's like, he's probably going to Longwood. It's Fort Pierce. So I jump in the car, no shoes, throw the baby in, and I'm flying. I'm like, you know, my mom met me, took the baby. I make it to Longwood. I see a group of people out there that are, some of them had work shirts on, so I knew that they worked with him. But I didn't know all of them. There was like five. So I go, as I'm walking up, one of them, the main lady who works, who was the owner, she walks up to me, and I've known her for a long time because Cody had worked there. She was like, are you going to go in? And I was like, of course I'm going to go in. It's my husband. And I just went past her, and I went up there, I talked to them and everything. They're like, you know, he's really in bad shape. We'll let you in as soon as we can. So I went back outside and I sat down, and some woman comes up to me, never met her before. And she's like, hey, I'm a friend of Cody's. What's going on with him? Can I get an update? And I was like, who are you? And she's like, I told you I'm a friend of Cody's. And I was like, but I'm his wife. And I don't know you. So who are you? And she's like, well, he was riding my boyfriend's bike. So then it kind of made me feel a little bit better about telling her stuff. So I was like, okay. I was like, you know, he's got a brain bleed. He's got all the stuff that I had known at that point. And she was like, okay. She's like, okay, if you get any more updates, come let me know. And then she went back over there. But I could feel something inside me was telling me she was lying to me.
Yeah, something wasn't right.
Yeah, and I'm like, whatever. You know, at this point, I'm sitting on the floor with no shoes on. Who cares?
Wow.
So then I went back inside when they let me in, and Cody was all beat up, and he's like, am I going to die? Like, he just kept asking me, am I going to die? And I was like, I don't think so. Like, I don't know. Like, you look bad, but I don't know, you know? And I just was like, I hope not. And I'm looking at the doctors. I'm like looking at somebody to tell me, is he going to die? And nobody would even like make eye contact with us. So I'm like, I don't know what's happening. Like, and you know, I started yelling at him about his helmet. I was like, why aren't you wearing a helmet? He never doesn't wear a helmet. So I'm like, why aren't you wearing a helmet? And then the cop comes in and he's like, you know, don't yell at him right now. You don't know if he's going to make it. Like, just, you know, say goodbyes. Cause he was bleeding out internally. So he's like, you know, he has to go. And, so then he handed me his phone. And when he handed me his phone, he's dying over here. Okay. Picture dying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
His eyes open so wide, like basically like, don't give her that.
Yeah.
And I registered that, and I'm like,
wow.
I didn't have the password at the time. Like, I told, we were bad. Mm-hmm. We were bad. So I didn't have passwords and stuff, but just holding it, the fear, he's dying. He cares more about this phone in my hand than he does about the bleeding out he's doing.
Wow.
You know? So I'm like, just adding on, mm-hmm. like just the layers. So then I took the phone, took his shoes, all his stuff, and went outside. And I decided to go over to this group to give him an update because they asked me to give him an update. So I walk over there and there's a girl on the ground bawling her eyes out. Never seen her before. She has a Taylor Creek shirt on, so I know she works with them. And I just was like, I walk over and just the atmosphere. They were all dead. You could hear a pin drop.
Wow.
And they just kind of looked at me and I was like, I just felt weird. And I was like, okay. I gave him the little update. I was like, he's going in for surgery. This is what's going on. And I just went to my car. So their car was like this and my car was right here. So they were facing me pretty much. So I'm sitting in the car. I'm trying to crack the phone. It's not working. I can't figure out the password. So, but I noticed that there was like 8 text messages from a girl named Carissa on there because the name was up and I could just see how many texts. And I'm like, okay, you know, it doesn't tell me anything. It tells me that, you know, this is weird. So I'm sitting there. She's standing up on her car pretty much, like with the door open. And she sends a text and it pops up. And I look down. It's another one from Carissa. And she jumps in the car when she's seen me turn. So now I've connected it.
Yeah.
This is Carissa. This is Carissa. Mm-hmm. She's the only one here left. It's 11 o'clock at night. Yeah. It's making sense. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, here we go. Right. So then I tried to find her on Facebook. Didn't know her last name. Yeah. So I couldn't find anything. I'm like, I sat in the car overnight because visiting hours are over at 6. So I'm sitting there just with my own thoughts, like, I'm going to go in there and rage at 6 o'clock in the morning. So then the next day I went up there. He was sedated. He just got out of surgery. So I get up there and there's a sticky note with her first and last name right next to the bed. Like, you can't tell me that's not God.
Yeah.
A sticky note. So
I just revealing what's happening here.
One after another. So I look it up and I find her on Facebook. Everything I needed to know, everything from pictures, from posts. I mean, literally God showed me everything. I asked him to show me and it was just there.
Gave you a preview.
Everything. Wow. And I didn't even need to know all the details, but it just was, yeah, it was just written
out. Registered. Yeah.
But the thing is that in that her conference, there was just one line that I remember so vividly where it said, the pastor said, she's like, she was talking about that lady who goes to, okay. She was talking about that lady who, the woman couldn't have a baby.
Right.
And then the lady ended up getting pregnant. So then she leaves and God tells her to go back. And the lady was just saying, the pastor was saying, go back to what hurt you the most and I'll send my angels with you. That's the only part I remember. And I just felt like that's what God did. I went back to my husband who hurt me the most. And he just sent his angels like there because I wasn't crying. I wasn't like, normally I would have attacked her because I found out. Mm-hmm. And then she drove over to my car and asked me for another update. Once so God, I realized
God kind of like sedated you, kind of you at peace.
There was no tears. I was just like, oh,
wow.
Finally.
He pre-prepared you for this moment.
It was like, as I found out, it was like, oh, I wasn't crazy. Yeah. Like, it was just relief. Like, I know that it was a terrible moment, but it was more just like, thank you. Like, thank you for telling me this.
So you asked God to reveal this and you God does reveal it. You're there in the hospital. It's all put like in a platter for you to see and view. And how were you able to forgive Cody through all of this?
So there's more to it. So when all this happened and we were about to get he was about to get discharged, I said, listen, I'll take care of you for a month because I know that you're hurting. I'll take care of you for 1 month. And then after that, you got to go. You got to find somewhere else to go. And in my heart, I wanted him to choose me. I wanted him to use that month to be like, you know what? This is what I want. I want my wife. I'm going to really try. Right.
Yeah.
Well, instead, what I got was, if you're not going to be with me, I'm not coming home because it's going to hurt me. And I said, okay, give me an address. You know, and that's the thing is that before that, I would have been like begging and pleading and like, stay. But no, God gave me like this strength where I was like, fine, give me an address. I'll pack your stuff now. So I went, I packed a good 2 weeks and I was like, give me an address. I'll take you wherever you want to go. Wow. And we packed up, we went, and the whole way there, he was like, are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure you want to do this? Like trying to call my bluff. And I'm like, I'm done being hurt. I'm done feeling this way. And I just had like a power, like a feeling of just like,
God just empowered
peace.
You to just to put your foot down and say, enough.
Yeah,
it's
God's
enough.
Like, you're not going to let your daughter see you be treated like this. Wow. We're not going to show her that this is how a man's supposed to treat their wife.
Right.
So then we get to this house. I'm thinking it's Pat. I'm thinking it's, you know, somebody that I know. And she walks out. And I'm like, oh.
Wow.
That was like the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, we're not going to act a fool. We're going to be graceful. And I just got out. I grabbed the bags. I handed them to her. And I went back and got in my car. I pulled out of there. And I'm telling you, that was my full heartbreak. Because I had never cried that hard in my entire life.
Man.
I called my friend and I'm like trying to explain to her what's going on. And she said that she couldn't even understand me. And I couldn't even, she wasn't even helping me. So I was like, I'm getting off the phone. So I hung up with her and I was just crying. And I was like, that was my surrender moment where I was like, God, I need you. I'm
right there,
done.
You say, God, this is it. This is it. What are you going to do for me now?
I'm done. And I was like, you can have my husband. Remember, that was the reason I wouldn't go to church. So I was like, you can have him. You can have everything. I don't care anymore. I'm tired of fighting. And I just had this, I was just washed with peace. Like, I'm telling you, I stopped crying, like, just immediately.
Only God.
I went home. I got a great night's sleep, like, as if my whole life didn't just fall apart on me. And I just completely just felt fine. And then the next morning, I packed my whole house up. I moved in with my mom 3 days later. I sold my house. Like, it just, things just started rolling. Like, mm-hmm. And it was just easy. Obviously, I was still arguing mm-hmm. with him because, you know, but he would be, and this is the thing. I didn't know God yet. That's the thing. I the door had opened, but I didn't know him.
Yeah, you didn't have a full relationship with God yet.
So I didn't even know what that was. So I was still talking to Aisha. I was still talking, you know, to people who would pour into me.
But that is amazing that although you still didn't have that full relationship with God, God was already working.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
With your attitude,
didn't
with
care.
Your response.
Didn't care,
with your heart, you know, all the broken pieces, just giving you peace
absolutely.
When you mostly needed it. That's amazing.
Yeah, and then, so one part of it is that Cody was constantly texting me, constantly like, hey, I want my family. I made the wrong decision. Like all these things. And I was like, no, your actions aren't showing it. Your actions mm-hmm. aren't showing it. And I was kind of a little bit just eating it up, being like, see, you made this bed.
Yeah.
Like, leave me alone. I don't want mm-hmm. nothing to do with it no more. And he would text me these things and I was being petty. I wasn't as good as I am now, but like I was being petty and I would text her. I would screenshot them and just send them to her.
Mm-hmm.
Then one day I took him to a doctor's appointment and he was fighting me and everything. And I was like, you know what? Show me the text messages. If you're saying that there's nothing there, show me those text messages between you two because you can't hide it. So he showed me and one of the text messages said, she's really convincing, but I believe and love you. It triggered me. It triggered me because I'm like, she believes you? And it just... That was my point where I was like, you know what? And then it sat with me for about a day and a half. And I was like, you know what? He had texted me and I said, you move in tonight. You have 5 hours to move your stuff out of her house and move in with me or else this is never happening again. And it was like, I did it out of being petty, but God was like, no, I need him here now.
Yeah.
I've done work in him.
Mm-hmm.
I need him to show you, but I need him to be there. He can't be there. So Cody was like, are you sure? Like, he was still like, I know you're crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I know you're crazy. So I don't know if I want to come home, but I want to be there. So he came home and then, I gave him a good 3 pages of things that I'm like, like non-negotiables. Like, I was just being a little over the top because I'm like, he's never going to agree to this.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I agree. And I was like, did you even read it? He's like, I agree. Whatever you want, I want to be home. And I was like, you know, and a lot on my list was, I was like, God's first. Like, there's no, this is what we're going to do. And
so
I just,
right there at that point, you're like, there's no negotiation.
None.
This is what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's like kind of like reset, reboot,
mm-hmm.
restart.
I was like,
and
we're going
right
to
now,
church.
I'm being pushed towards the Lord.
Yeah.
And I felt this peace in this process, and mm-hmm. I want to follow that.
Right. And that's
that
what
path.
I'm doing. There's, you're not pulling me back.
Wow.
So we're either going forward or I'm leaving you here.
So what did he say that?
I'm coming home. He literally came home that night. So... he came home and it was not peaches and cream. That's the thing is that like some people, I've had wives come to me and they're like, how do you get over it? How do you get over the hump? It is long. I mean, I spent a good year and a half just crying to God. Like, and I finally got to the point where I realized that my husband's not going to fix me. My husband, no matter what he says,
preach.
I'm not going to be healed by it. So, you know, in the beginning, we were fighting constantly. He would trigger me and, you know, my heart was still hurting because he hadn't healed it because he can't, you know. So I I was constantly being like, you know, are you still cheating? Is this happening? Is this happening? And no matter what he said, I couldn't get through. He wasn't going to reach me that way. And then I started crying to God. I'm like, God, change him. Change the way that he's thinking. Change the way that he's talking to me. And God, if I'm wrong, change me. Make it to where if I'm causing him to act a certain way, if I'm causing him to react or whatever, help me be better or help fix him. Because right now, there's nothing. We're a clean slate. It's not even clean. It's a dirty slate.
But you're talking this way, and how many years you already had, like, or how many months you had in church, like, seeking the Lord for the first time?
No, this was like a month. This was a month. We had only been 3 weeks. Only a month,
and yeah. God is already renewing your mind to react this way and speak to him that way? That is mind-blowing.
Yeah, I mean, but remember, this was over, like, the whole year. Yeah. I had just had multiple conversations with God where I'm like, because I was fighting with Cody so much that, like, I didn't even know
if
we were
going
to be.
Yeah, but you were going to psychics. You were going to readers, and now you're going to God.
I was going to be a psychic.
Yeah,
that was my goal. Like,
are you serious?
Yeah, I had bought in dowsing rods. Like, I was ready. Wow. And I used them one time. And when I used them, I'm telling you, my whole body, I was like, the whole room felt evil. I can't even explain it. It felt like something was watching me.
It's
and
real.
I was like,
people think
I
it's
can't
not real.
Touch this. And
people think it's not real.
It was terrifying. It was terrifying.
And you flipped. God flipped you like that. Snatched you out of that realm. And what you wanted to become and who you are now.
Right. And this is the thing that now, part of that testimony of like the full heartbreak, that's when I surrendered. That's when I was finally like, God, just take it. But there's more to that testimony because we had a testimony night where Pastor Lynn was telling his testimony and how he asked God to save his wife and he came like the next day, somebody was mm-hmm. there. Well, for me, it's kind of the same thing. I asked and he answered the next day. Pastor Isis was like, you know what? Some people pray for years, and God answered you the next day. Like, you have to just like praise that. You have to just like go in 100%.
Glory to God. Come on. Yeah. Are you hearing this? Amazing.
So then, after that testimony of them, which I already kind of knew it, but just like, it just renewed me again where I was just like for a good 4 days, just crying and just like thanking God, like, thank you for restoring my marriage. Thank you for stepping in. Thank you for choosing my family because there's so many people. He could have chose anybody, but just thank you for listening to me. And then on the third day, and mind you, this was like a year and a half in, like we were pretty much good at that point. After about a year and a half in, I was sitting in my car and I was thanking him and I was just, you know, crying and everything. And then God just started speaking to me and he's like, your husband did not choose her. I was helping you choose me. That had to happen in order for you to choose me because I would have never, it's something serious would have had to have happened for me to turn and look at God over my husband.
But you got to say that again. So you got to slow down and say that again because that is so powerful.
So I was just, you know, praising God. And then I was sitting in my car and I was like, you know, just thanking him for it. And I just remember just feeling this feeling and God just speaking to me and saying like, your husband did not choose her. I was helping you choose me. And I had to have that heartbreak. I had to have that moment
that
of just like broken. For me to be like, you're first, God. My husband's second.
Yeah, you had him up
but
here.
But you're first. And yeah. Wow. Yeah. 100%. And that was the missing piece of just like healing. But the thing is, if I wasn't spending time with God, that would have never happened. If correct. I wasn't truly like searching for the healing and the everything from God, that would have never happened.
Never.
I can't find that in my husband. No matter what he says, he's still messed up. He's still flawed.
Yeah.
God is the one who was like, listen, I did that. For you, not to you. And he didn't do it to you.
For you, not to you.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, so 2 years in this now, 2 years in this process, what God has done now together in this process for 2 years of restoration. Right. Talk to me a little bit about that.
So now, like before we had just fighting constantly. Now it's just peace. Like, I mean, we're not perfect. We still have the same.
No one is. No one is.
Yeah, we have little bickers and stuff. But before, I'm telling you, you could cut the tension with a knife in my household. Like, we did not. You couldn't walk in and feel like home. There was no peace. You know, now, I mean, it's just we're happy. You know, God has just really shown up for my husband. He now has his own business. You know, he took me out of dialysis, which is what I really, you know, wanted. Like, God just moved in so many ways, but it started with, he had to put the pieces together. He had to start it back over. you know.
That is so beautiful. I was studying and I was looking at the Japanese art of kintsugi. How the broken pieces and they created it, and it's like they re-mend them together, re-put them together, you know, all the broken pieces, you know, with gold. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's what God does, you know. Yeah. And he creates this masterpiece, amen, with all your imperfections, with all your flaws. But when you look at it and how God put it all back together, you know, it's unique. It's mm-hmm. it's one of a kind. No Beautiful. One will have your testimony. Right. No one will have your process. Mm-hmm. But look at what the Lord has done with all that broken pieces. He's still able to mend it together, mm-hmm. put it together, and create something better than what it was before.
Right. Unbelievable. And one thing, too, that for wives, like I had someone come to me and was like, how do you forgive? How do you get over it? You know, and I had this moment where I was in my prayer time and I was just really, it felt dry. I have a list, a prayer list, and I was going through it. And I was like, wow, that's just, I'm not feeling it. Like, I'm just feel like I'm reciting. And then I was like, you know what? I put it down and I was like, God, you already know what I want here. You know this list. I've said this list. But I just asked, I was like, Holy Spirit, what do I need to be praying for? What's going on?
That's good.
I need help. I know that there's something. And I just started crying. And then all of a sudden I just started praying for Carissa, like just going in. I'm like, you know, I hope that she never finds another man.
Wait,
like
so you're praying for the woman that's trying to steal your husband.
Right. So I just really started blessing her. And I'm like, I hope that she never finds another person that cheats on her. I hope that she, the next person she gets with, I hope that she marries them. I hope that
bless
you just start
your enemy,
stepping
says the Bible.
In. Yeah. And I felt chains releasing. I just wow. felt like, wait.
Listen to that, women that are watching.
Me.
Listen to that.
Yeah. So my big thing, and this helped another woman, was I was like, just start praying for her. Even if you have to, like, because there was times where I'm like, don't bring her up to me. When I was talking to God, I'm like, I'm not praying for her. Leave me alone about it, because I felt it.
Yeah.
But it was just something
God
that
was looking. God was still putting that in you because there was still little pieces that needed to be healed
right.
inside of
and,
you.
And true forgiveness for her. I never Ooh. Held her accountable. Even though she knew about me, I didn't. She has no right. She has no loyalty to me.
Mm-hmm.
My husband is the one that was wrong.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, it's still like, hey,
so you didn't
as
want to,
a human.
Yeah, but you didn't want to be held hostage by that.
Right.
You
so
wanted
like,
to be free
right.
from
and,
that.
And
it's
didn't
only
even
by
know
forgiving.
That. I didn't even know that. God just was like, this is what you need to do.
Wow.
And then when I started feeling it, now I know. Mm-hmm. Later on, sometimes you have to look back and be like, okay, now I know why you did that. Now I see, you know? And so for me, when I started praying for her like that, I just felt it. I felt the weight and I'm like, wow.
Beautiful.
So now when women do ask me like, hey, how did you get over it? How did you start, you know, forgiving?
So say that to somebody, like look at that camera and speak to a woman that is right now in that predicament, in that crisis or lonely,
right.
in depression, you know, for unfaithfulness, for just things not working in the home, you know, in their marriage, with mm-hmm. their kids. What can you say? Talk
so
to them.
For me, like, when it comes to like, how do you get over it? How do you move past it? How do you forgive? For me, I start praying for that other person, like really praying for her. It changed the game. It changed everything because I just felt weight. And I prayed, it wasn't just that one time. I started praying for her for multiple times, like probably a good week until I felt like God didn't want me to do it anymore. Until I felt like, okay, it's okay. You know, and really, and he answered that prayer because later on, I'd say about a month or two later, I'm scrolling on TikTok. Mind you, I told God that I would never look at their social medias again because it was causing arguments. I'd get triggered and then I'd fight with my husband. So I told God, I was like, I'll never look at their social medias again. And that's something that I just tell you, like, you need to do that. Don't look at their social medias. Don't give the enemy an inch.
Don't give them an inch.
So I'd already told him that. So I was scrolling through TikTok and her video popped up and I'm like, that's so weird. That's so weird because I don't have her on my phone, nothing. And she popped up and I watched it and I'm like, well, God, I didn't go look. And I like kind of bargained with him. I'm like, I didn't go look. And then the next day I didn't, but you can also click it and then say uninterested. And I didn't do that either. So I didn't shut it down either. So then like 2 days later, it popped up again, another one of hers. And it was a video of her getting engaged. And I'm like, you know, immediately I was like, how dare she? She destroyed my marriage. And I just started like thinking, I just got flooded with these terrible thoughts. And then I'm like, wait a second. And I was like, God, is this an answered prayer? And when God speaks to me, I feel goosebumps all over my whole body. Like I just feel it. And I just felt that. And I was like, okay. Like I begged you for like a good week and a half to bless her. You're blessing her and you're showing me it. And
God, I created a new chapter for you and a new chapter for her.
Yes. And so I clicked it. Not interested. I won't see it anymore. But I know.
But you know that your prayers were answered.
Yeah.
You were speaking life into your enemy. Mm-hmm. Life into someone that hurt you.
Right.
Bless those who curse you, says the word. And you acted upon that word of God.
Right.
And not only that, but I know that the Lord connected you with our church.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know that the healing comes with connections too.
Right.
With surrounding yourself with the right people that can deposit the right words to your life.
Listen, the people that you are surrounded by mean the world. Because Aisha, I speak so highly of Aisha because she has poured into me so many times that she has blessed my life. And you need people that are connected to God in order to keep that going. Because she could have been like, you know, there was times where I would go to her and be like, Cody's doing this, this, and this. What the heck? And she'd be like, you're wrong. And you need friends that are going to be like, you're wrong. You know, this isn't godly. This is going to, you know, tear your marriage apart. And that's what she did. And, you know, it's just, I praise God for Aisha.
Yeah, Aisha is one of our worshipers at the outside church, and God is just using her and her, the husband.
Right, but since then, you know, realistically, since I've been in the church and, you know, talked to people, I have more people there. I, you know, Pastor Isis, I'll go to her if I need her. Elsie, I go to her.
A bigger family, community.
And it's not going to be everybody, you know, no church is perfect. But the thing is that you find that little group of people, those just couple good people that are connected to God, and it will keep you strong. Because there are times where I got mad at Cody and or he triggered me and Aisha pulled me off the ledge because we could be right back where we were fighting. Mm-hmm. But Aisha helped me. So godly people around you, and it even says it in the Bible that if you're around the wrong type of people.
Wise counsel.
Right. Or it's going to corrupt you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's
corrupts good character.
Right. Yeah. And that's one thing with that we've had to learn. We have to be careful with who we're friends with. So a lot of our friends from before, trying to speak lightly because
it happens to all of us.
Yeah, you just don't relate anymore.
You're not the same. What you used to like, you don't like anymore.
Right.
And you don't want to offend, so you prefer to stay away.
Mm-hmm.
And
you
just
still love them.
And still create
still
a healthy space. A healthy space with love, and you love from afar, but you're not about that anymore.
Right. Well, and it also, when you try to give them advice, they don't want to hear it.
Right.
Because it's not the type of advice you used to give.
Yeah. And it's not their moment yet. God will reach them too. And
but
you just
still
pray for them.
Yeah, you still I still am there. Like if any of them reach out to me, I'm still there.
That's right.
You know, because but I'm gonna have a godly touch on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm gonna be like, listen, you're going through this and this and this. This is why, and I know someone who can help you. Like, that's let me introduce you
Let's
to somebody. Like,
amen.
You know,
so life breaks us, but God makes us stronger.
Right.
Amen. And more beautiful in all the broken with all the broken pieces.
Right.
So to close this amazing, powerful podcast, amen. What can you advise somebody really quick again? Before you say a quick prayer for them, because it's very inspirational how you handle all of this and how God has worked in your life to this point. Mm-hmm. And he's still perfecting you. He's still mending other things and, you know, in the entire home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, both of your story is just epic on the sense of encouraging others to believe, man, that God can do it. God is still able to fix it. God is still able to heal, you know, those wounds and those scars that you think that is,
you just have to give him the space.
Give him the space, give him the chance. If you have not done that, give God an opportunity to walk into your season, to your home, to your marriage, to the situation with your children, with your husband. Let God, but before you can let God, you need to submit. You need to commit to God. You need to surrender to God like you did. You say, you know what? You know, all the things that you have that you are idolizing and all the things that you have in a higher place, you need to put God there.
Right. Right.
Put God there first. Put God first. And then you will see him work in your favor.
Every spot.
In every area of your life. Gradually, God will do it. Maybe so for some it's overnight. Others is gradually. But he will do it. Mm-hmm. And this is what we need you to understand tonight. So give someone a quick, you know, like inspirational, motivational word right now.
So for me, I just... If you are dealing with especially infidelity and you're wanting your marriage to work, God wants the marriage to work. So if you have it in your heart that you want to stay with your husband, really just ask God to show you the way. Like for me, all I did was ask God to show me, and he will show anybody. If he did it for me, he'll do it for anybody. So realistically, just be like, God, show me what the steps are. What do I need to do? If you're real, whatever you want to know, ask him. You know, ask him as if he's just a normal person sitting right next to you. What do you want me to do? What are my next steps? How do I get through this? How do I heal from this? And he'll just start sending people or showing you stuff on whatever you watch, TikTok, YouTube, whatever. He'll start sending you videos like the podcast, and it'll just start working. He'll start moving. He will start moving. If you open that door, he will start moving.
Let him in.
Let him in.
Let him in.
Let him in. So he can, ask him.
So he can give you a total recovery from what the enemy is trying or has stolen from you. God can turn it around and give you back double for your trouble. Mm-hmm. If you believe him, if you seek him, if you are honestly looking for change, God is the answer for that change. So we bless you and we honor you and we encourage you to not ever give up. You know, take all of these moments that God has done something in your life to reignite that fire, to repassion you for the Lord. You know, just remember the goodness of God. Mm-hmm. Always bring to remembrance and always renew your mind, because the enemy will always, like you said, that you mentioned the TikTok thing.
Absolutely.
It will just, the enemy also will send some stuff to distract, for you not to believe what God is doing, for you to get ahead of yourself, for you to get desperate. But you know, you have to wait on God, because God is the God and the only one that can recover what you have lost.
Right.
And more. Mm-hmm. So I believe that. So say a quick prayer for someone that's out there, and then we will end this podcast. I'm excited because I know many lives will be blessed by this. It's amazing. Praise the Lord. Go ahead.
So thank you, Lord, for opening this door for these people to hear it. Lord, thank you for all the wives that are going to be touched. Thank you, Lord, for the marriages that could be saved through this, Lord. Just thank you. Thank you for being at that door and willing to help everybody, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for turning the messes around. You know, we find ourselves broken, Lord, and just thank you for taking what the enemy meant to destroy us and just flipping it. You know, thank you just for being so good. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace, everything. And I just pray, in Jesus' name, if anybody is struggling right now, you can reach out to somebody that is godly. I pray that God sends people that are godly into your life to just speak life into you. I just pray that you find people that speak life into you and lead you to Christ and lead you to his feet, because he's the one who can change everything. He's the one that can change your marriage, turn your family around, turn your kids to him. Like, he will be the one. Your husband can't do it. Nobody in your family can do it. Only God. And I just pray that through this video, this is going to be the turning point for you, where you're like, okay, you know what? God's the one that I'm going to go to. And in Jesus' name, I pray that that's what you do. Amen.
Amen. There you have it. Episode 10, Total Recovery. Amen. Ayla Christian with her side of the story through her lens, pouring out her heart to you for you to not give up. Amen. So please, once again, share this live stream or the YouTube. Is Out of the Box 941. Out of the Box 941. Share it with a friend, the podcast as well. Lives will be transformed. Hey, listen, do not give up. God can show up in your worst moment. If you only believe, if you only give him an opportunity, one opportunity can turn your entire life around. Stop running. Stop looking for a different way out. There's no other way. God said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. You want revelation? Jesus is the light. He is the way. So we bless you. We honor you. Thank you so much. Peace out and see you for episode 11. We made it to 10. Let's go. Amen. We love you guys. And thank you so much for everything you do and for sharing everything that we are doing in this podcast. And may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May his face and his presence follow you every day of your life. Be at peace. God is in control of all things. God bless you. Amen.